This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Yisai. Baruchim Abayim to the Koilo Igra de Pirka here in Kew Garden Hills, New York. Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. Parshas Vayakel Pekudei is a review of the construction of the Mishkan. So we know that Tfilois, Keneged, Karbonos, Tiknam. So we're going to speak about a very important inyan that is relevant to our daily avodah. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, Amar le Yahu Merabanan Rav Bibi Bar Abaye Va'amri La Rav Bibi L'Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Mai. What does the following pasuk mean? Kirum Zulus L'Vnei Adam. Kirum Zulus L'Vnei Adam. Kirum, something very high. Zulus, which is treated lowly. Amar le Elu Dvarim Sha'imdim Berumai Shalaylam U'Vnei Adam Mezalzalin Bahem. These are matters that stand in the summit of the world, the pinnacle of the world, and people disparage them. People trample on them. People treat them very disrespectfully. What is this referring to? Says Rashi, Dvarim Sha'imdim Barumai Sha'ilam, Kegoin Tfila. For example, davening, Sha'ila Lamala. Davening, which rises all the way up to heaven, and yet people trample on it, people stumble on it. People do not treat it with the reverence that it deserves. So let's begin by saying, what exactly are we referring to when we say that tefillah is something that people trample on? We are not talking about people who talk by davening. That's not called trampling on tefillah. That's called not davening. In fact, we're not talking about people that pull out phones by davening. That's not called trampling on davening. That's called not davening. If they would be very smart if they followed the advice of the Kaf HaChaim, and that is, do not come to shul. Do not get up in the morning. Just stay in bed. You will get far more Olam Haba if you sleep the entire morning than if you come to shul and you talk. You're not doing anybody no favors. You're not doing God no favors. And you're not doing the Jewish people any favors. You're causing damage to yourself and you're causing damage to the entire Jewish people. If you cannot control yourself and you feel you must talk by davening, You don't need to come. Don't come. Don't harm the Jewish people. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking to God-fearing Jews who know what davening is. They appreciate what davening is. They would never pull out a phone by Pesukei D'Zimra. They would never talk by Pesukei D'Zimra. They would never talk by Kriyas HaTorah. They wouldn't even talk Ben Gavra LeGavra as the Halacha dictates. We're talking to good God-fearing Jews here in the Kollel Igra de Pirka. And even so, the Gemara says, even people who know what davening is, still they trample on it. Still they stumble on it. So in what way? In what way is davening not given the proper appreciation that it deserves? So let's begin with Parshas, Pasuk and Parshas Yisroi. Perek Yotes, Pasuk Vav. Very important Pasuk. One of the most important psukim in the Chumash, if we're allowed to say such a thing. V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. You will be for me a kingdom of priests, v'goy kadosh, and a holy nation. Eile hadvarim asher tedaber al bnei Yisrael. This is what you need to speak to the Jewish people. So Yibam Shem comes to Moshe, he says, Moshe, give bnei Yisrael the following speech. Tell them, you guys are a kingdom of kohanim. Now, raise your hands if you're a kohen. And David is a kohen, this gentleman is a kohen. So we have two kohanim here. What? Three kohanim. And how many non-kohanim? The majority of us are not kohanim. That means you guys are batel v'roiv. It's only, it's kilu, you're not even here. You know? Except for a beria is not batel. So, right? But actually, a davar chashev is not batel. But still, how could the Ribbono Shel Olam tell Moshe Rabbeinu with a straight face, go tell the Jewish people, you guys are a bunch of kohanim. No, we're not. I mean, I have a tradition, I'm from Shevet Yehuda. I know I'm not a kohen. If one thing I'm not a kohen. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam's message? Go tell the Bnei Yisrael, they're mamleches kohanim, a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? Says Rashi, look at number 4. V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim sarim. Sarim are princes. So kohanim doesn't mean priests, it means princes. Kema da'ad omar, like it says, uvnei David kohanim ayu. And the sons of David are kohanim. They just have one simple question. If God meant to tell us that we're a mamleches sarim, then guess what he could have said? He could have said, V'yatem tiyuli mamleches sarim v'goy kadosh. In fact, he could have saved the money. You know, every letter costs money. You go to the printer, every letter is going to cost you. So Ibn Shem could have saved himself a letter and told us the truth. V'yatem tiyuli mamleches sarim v'goy kadosh. Are you a printer?
No, but Jewish institutions make money by selling letters.
By selling letters. Yeah, but in the long run, it's going to cost you. In the long run, it's going to cost you.
Yeah, keeps the
cipher. Yeah, the atem tilui. So what does Rashi mean, sarim? But ein mikro yoytzim midei pshutai. Why the word choice of kaihanim? One thing we're not is we're not kaihanim. And we're bringing a raya. Oh, just like it doesn't mean the right thing in this pasuk, just like another pasuk. So why in the pasuk? One thing B'nai David are not. The last thing that you're going to call B'nai David are kaihanim. David Amel comes from Shevet Yehuda. The one thing they are not is they're not kaihanim. U'B'nayahu, Ben Yehoyada, the Hakresi, the Haplesi, U'B'nai David, kaihanim hayu. They're not kaihanim. What are they? They're Yisraelim. What is so? There also means Sarim. So if Hashem wanted to call them Sarim, I guarantee you the Ibn Shem could have written Uvnei David Sarim Hayu. Why? Sarim, princes, royalty of distinguished disposition. But why Kohanim? Kohanim are priests. They are not Bnei Aaron. What do you mean V'yatem Tiuli Mamleches Kohanim? What does it mean Uvnei David Kohanim Hayu? There's also a pasuk in Yeshaya. V'yatem kaihane Hashem tikra'ehu. And you, priests of God, you will be called. And you, priests of God, you will be called. What does that mean? What does that mean? We are going to be called priests of God. Marv Rabbi said this is something you want to explore and hopefully bring out something very critical and very crucial and bring out an understanding and appreciation for davening. If we're able to integrate what we learned today, Be'ezus Hashem, it will elevate our davening to a completely new level. Every day, we wake up. And what's the first thing we do when we wake up? We go back to sleep. No, just joking. What's the first thing we do when we get up in the morning? We wash? Negavasser. Negavasser. So what do? You pick it up with the right hand. You put it in the left hand. Right, left, right, left, right, left. 3 times. You want to do it 4 times? Good. Ma'atavu ma'anohem. Me'yakar then 3 times. Fine. How many times in the morning are you washing your hands? The answer is you're supposed to wash them twice. Why? Because most people, after they get up in the morning, they got to take care of what they need to take care of. They're going to go to the facility. They're going to dress themselves and their hands. And then they wash their hands again. And what do they say when they wash their hands a second time? Al netilas Yadayim, they make a bracha. And then they take bread and they make hamotzi lechem in aretz, right? No, you're not allowed to eat before davening. Right? You're not supposed to eat if a person is healthy. They're not permitted to eat before davening. The Rambam even darshans it from a pasuk, lo yisoichu al adam. Unless a person cannot concentrate without eating, they're not supposed to eat before davening. So you're making al netilas yadayim. So that means when you eat bread after Shachris, you don't have to wash again? No, you do have to wash again. So why are you making a bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim every morning? Negavasser, you washed, first thing. Netilas Yadayim, what in the world are you making a bracha for? You're not eating bread. You ever think about that? Hope so. Yeah. What's the reason you make an Al Netilas Yadayim in the morning? This is a question of the Rajba, and the Tshuvas HaRajba, Chilak Aleph, Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph.
It's like calling your what? Washes at the kiosk.
Ah, so says the Rajba in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Lama tiknu birchas antils yadayim b'shachris. Shebracha zu leiniskena ela ala pas. The bracha antils yadayim is only for bread. Answers the Rajba. This is the minog Yisrael to make nitzil zayim every morning, and we're makbid on this netila like a suda. So really, Rabbi Yisai, the best thing to do, you wake up in the morning, you wash negomaser, take care of what you need to, you get dressed, and either right before you leave your house, or when you get to shul, you wash your hands again, and you make the bracha on the Netilas Yadayim. Why? Says the Rasha, Ani loy matzasi b'shem makayim davar mevurar sheyitztarech adam lito yadav shachas b'kli. why do I need to wash my hands with a kli in the morning? If it's because of Ruach Ra, which is called Shifta or Bas Melech, I don't need a kli, I just need water. If Elamai, you'll say, I need to have clean hands for davening, wrong. Wrong answer. That's not why you wash your hands in the morning. Why? Because all you need is rechitza, all you need is to wash, or you could wipe it on a table or something, or on a pebble. Like David HaMelech says, Erchatz v'nikayon kapai. All David HaMelech says is, I wash with cleanliness. You might not even need water, and you don't need a kli. So why in the world do we wash our hands with a kli in the morning? And if it's for davening, then you should make a bracha by mincha and marav as well. But they're not tefillos, so there is a shita. Maybe the rush, maybe. That you do make a bracha. We don't paskin that way. So don't you tell me it's for davening, because then you should make a bracha of all three tefillos. Says the Rashba, every morning when you wake up in the morning, you're not you again, you're a new creation. You're a beriah chadasha. Like the pasuk says in Eicha, Chadashim labekarim rabbah emunasecha. And therefore we need to thank Hashem that He created us to honor Him and to serve Him. And that's why we make all the berachas hashachar in the morning. Says the Rashba, ulafikach anu tzrichin lehiskadesh b'kdushasai. We need to sanctify ourselves in His sanctity. Velito yodeinu min akli. And wash with a kli. But what do you mean? For davening you don't need a kli? No! But every morning you're initiating and inaugurating your avodas Hashem. And just like the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash inaugurated and initiated their avodas Hashem by washing from the Kiyar, Kekoin Shemekadosh Yad Min HaKiyar Kodem Avodasai, so too, we every morning, just like a Kohen who would inaugurate and initiate his avodas Hashem by saying, you know what, this is a new day, this is a new opportunity to serve God. We need to have a ceremony to initiate and inaugurate the service by washing from the kiyar. Every Jew washes his hands in the morning with a kli, just like a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. So I have one very simple pircha on the Rashba. What do you mean, just like a kohen? But I'm not a kohen. Let a kohen wash his hands in the morning. But I'm a Levi, I'm a Yisrael, I'm from Shevet Zevulun, I'm from Shevet Yisachar. Why do I need to wash my hands in the morning? What's the Rashba saying? The Rashba says the reason you have to wash your hands with a kli in the morning, making it till them, is like a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. First of all, I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash. Second of all, I'm not a kohen. What in the world am I doing? Why do I need to mimic the kohanim? Do I need to put on big day kahuna also? What's the Rashba talking about? This is a takana drabanan. Why is there such a takana? It doesn't seem to be reasonable. Let me tell you a halacha that I venture to say every single Jew has read in their lifetime. And I would venture to say kemat 99% of people misread it and are not mekayim the halacha. What's the halacha? Simen Tzadi Dalet. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tzorach lechavein neged Eretz Yisrael. One needs to, number 8. One needs to be mechavein toward Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Bekumoy lehispalo, says the Shulchan Aruch, when you get up to daven. Im hoya oimed b'chutzaretz, if you're in chutzaretz, raise your hand if you live in chutzaretz. Raise your hand if you're up. Okay, right? So, just joking, right? Raise your hand, so anyone who stands in chutzaretz to daven, yachzer panav keneged Eretz Yisrael, should turn their face toward Eretz Yisrael. V'yichavein gam liyushalayim. And be mechavin to Yerushalayim, ula mikdash, ula beis kodshei kodashim. I think most people would read this halacha to mean, make sure you're facing Eretz Yisrael, make sure you're facing Yerushalayim, make sure you're facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I just have one simple question for you. If you're facing Eretz Yisrael, guess what else you're facing? Then you're facing Yerushalayim, and you're facing the Kodesh. So you're telling me, no, the guys in America, he's facing Tveria. So we're telling you, make sure you turn toward Yerushalayim, the Kodesh. The guy's facing Yerushalayim. No, you're not facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You tell me how that's possible in America to face Yerushalayim and not face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I mean, you have to be pretty particular. You're going to have to get like some kind of electronic device then to angle you on that perfect angle. Is that what the halacha is saying? If you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, Yachzer Panov Keneged Yushalayim. It doesn't say now Yachzer Panov LeMikdash El Beis Kodesh Kadashim. It says the Yechavein Gam LeMikdash El Beis Kodesh Kadashim. Haya Oymed B'Yushalayim Yachzer Panov LeMikdash the Yechavein Gam Ken LeBeis Kodesh Kadashim. Says the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is just reading the words of the Shulchan Aruch. There is no halacha to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there is no halacha to face Yushalayim. There's one halacha, face Eretz Yisrael. But you're Yechavein to the Yushalayim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning, Ratzolayimah Yechavein Liboy, Afal Pishi Yevshoi Lahachzer Panav Negdom. Place focus in your heart. What is it? So now, I need to turn my attention toward Yerushalayim, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So I would say that means, okay, I need to think about it. No! Wrong! It does not mean you think about it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ratzolaymar, Sheyachshoiv, Beliboy, Virayoinoi, Kilu Oimed, Bemikdash, Asher, Birushalayim. It's a sif in Shulchan Aruch. That how do you daven Shmoneh Esrei? You do not daven Shmoneh Esrei thinking, facing Eretz Yisrael and thinking about Yerushalayim. The correct way to daven, this is not a chumrah, it's a halacha, that the way to daven Shmoneh Esrei is you need to have a good imagination and imagine you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You hear this? Do you ever realize this? Do you ever mekayim this? That when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, you take your three steps back and you imagine you're davening the Shmoneh Esrei in the Holy of Holies. So I have one simple question. I'm not a Kohen. And even if I was a Kohen, I'm not a Kohen Gadol. And even if I am a Kohen Gadol, today's Monday. And even if today's Yom Kippur, I don't have Ketores. So what's the halacha? You hear this? I'm supposed to imagine as if I'm standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it comes out a very interesting thing, Rabbi Isai. That means every morning when I'm waking up, I'm not just landing directly in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a progression, there's a process where I start off by washing my hands. The Netil Seyadai, I'm like the Kohen who washes on the Kiyar on the outside. And somehow through the course of davening, I'm making my way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this is something we're going to explore in great detail. Let's just establish the following rule. And then I'm going to hand you out your own personalized maps. Okay, so here we go. This comes from the Sefer Sharei Oira, which are the Shmuzin of Harav Avigdor Miller, Zeches Hag Levracha. I had the honor and privilege to hear many of these ideas personally, and they're recorded in the Sefer Sharei Oira of Rav Avigdor Miller. Says Rav Miller, as the introduction to Kabbalah HaTorah, the Ribbono Shel gave us the following message. V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. When Hashem said those words, Ein mikra yoyse midei pshutai. It's not a mashal, it's not a melitza, it's not an allegory, a simile, an analogy, you're like kohanim. No, you are kohanim. What is the definition of a kohen? Definition of a kohen is a clergy. What's a clergy? A clergy is somebody who their service of God is their profession. What the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Klal Yisrael is, what I'm about to give you, I'm not giving you a hobby. Torah is not a hobby where, yeah, you make a living and you have family, so you might have a little bit of a spiritual emptiness, so you'll have a little, you know, sanctity and spirituality on the side. No, I'm giving you a Torah Chaim. What I expect of every Jew is a clergyman. It doesn't mean every Jew is a rabbi, but what it means is a Jew views themselves as their main occupation in this world is service of Hashem. Be it when they pray, be it when they learn, be it when they work, be it when they're with their family. They're clergy in that is their primary occupation. As Ribbono Shel Olam says, Amzu Yatzarta Li, this nation I created for myself, Tehilasi Yisaperu, is for them to relate my praise. Therefore Hashem says, I want you to know, you may not be from the family of Aaron HaKohen, that's irrelevant. The family of Aaron HaKohen are Kohanim by genetic code. You are Kohanim by profession. That means all of your energy and all of your emotion and all of your intellect and all of your focus should be how to best serve Hashem. That is the job, that is the clarion call of the Jew. Like the Navi Yeshaya says, V'atem Kayane Hashem Tikru'u. Rav Miller brings this out in a very interesting way. Here's an example. Hashem comes to the Kohanim and he tells them in Vayikra Chafala Pasakei, Lo yikruchu karcha b'roisham, ufa'as zekanam lo yigalechu. They can't make a bald spot, right, on their head, and they can't shave off their beard with a razor. Wait a second. That sounds awfully familiar. What's that got to do with Kohanim? Nobody's allowed to shave off their beard with a razor. You're not allowed to use a razor. People used to ask me, where on the face are you allowed to use a razor? Because we know there are five spots that you're not allowed to use a razor. You can't use a razor anywhere because it's very unclear where the five spots are. So if the barber takes the razor and says, don't worry, I'm not going there, don't let him go there. Can use a razor. There are five spots. And if you knew exactly where, technically you could. But because we don't know exactly where, it's off limits. The face is off limits with a razor. By the way, and even a scissor is not permitted in under all circumstances. Let me explain. In the area of the payas, now there's no halachic requirement to have payas. That's, you know, a minhag of chasidim, of svardim. But even so, you have to be careful. The length, the payas here has to be a certain length. It's machloikis, how long it is to double it over or to be able to pull it. But some people like to get very close crew cuts. In this area, above the bone line, even with a scissor, some people like to get a very clean look. You can't do it even with a scissor. So there are two separate halachas. One is the five places on the beard. And then the pa'as roishcha is even, the sheet of the rush that we're machmer like, is even not with a razor. Even a scissor, not talking about a shaver, even a scissor, you can cut too close. Okay, but be it as it may, why is Hashem telling the kohanim not to use a razor on their face? And then Hashem repeats it to all of Klal Yisrael. What's the concept of that? Just say to all of Klal Yisrael, don't shave your faces. The point the Rebbe Hashem is trying to get across is, he's trying to make the Jewish people feel, if I first tell the Kohanim they can't do this, and then I tell it to all of Klal Yisrael, this way Klal Yisrael understands and appreciates, the truth is, everyone is a Kohen. Everyone has the status of clergy. Therefore, there are a number of mitzvahs which were given specifically to the Kohanim, and then repeat it to everyone. I'll give you another example. In the parsha of Shechting Karbanos, Shechitas Kodshim, it says in Devarim Perek Yud Beis, Ki Yerchak Mimicha HaMakayim, and it says, V'zavachta Mibikarecha. If you live too far from the Beis HaMikdash to bring Karbanos, you know what you're going to do? You're going to eat steak in your backyard and have a barbecue. Okay, is that a carbon? No, that's a barbecue. So why in the context, Hashem says, come to the Beis HaMikdash, bring karbanos shlamim, bring karbanos. Oh, you can't make to the Beis HaMikdash, so bring eat meat in your backyard. What is eating meat in backyard? That's a substitute to karbanos? Yeah. Because the truth is that Hashem wants you to feel that even your ordinary everyday barbecue has a bechina, is a level, is a me'ain, is a shemetz of achilas kodshim. It may not be in the Beis HaMikdash with actual kohanim, with real priests wearing the garments, but nevertheless, it has a quasi-status of achilas kodshim. Meaning the Rebbe Hashem wants a Jew to feel every yid, no matter what your lineage is, it doesn't matter what your DNA is, it doesn't matter what shevet you come from, every Jew should feel that in some level they have a status of a kohen. Like the Rashba says, that every morning when you wake up in the morning, you wash your hands like a kohen who's about to do the avodah. Yeah, but I'm just a plain old Yisrael. I can only get shlishi. So the first thing is, I'll tell you, there's a certain shul that I know. The rabbi's a Yisrael, and he gets the first aliyah every week. I'm not sure how, but you know, so we could work something out for you. But even if, you know, in your shul, you'll never get the first aliyah, it doesn't matter. You're still considered in a very significant way. You have a status of a clergy, you have a status of a kohen. Let's talk about the following idea. This is what Miller would talk about all the time. You know, you wake up in the morning and you make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem lekenu melech haolam, pakeach ivrim. By the way, why don't we say Hashem gives hearing to the deaf? Why don't we say Hashem gives taste to the tasteless? Why don't we say Hashem gives touch to the feelless? Why, of all the five senses, do we only mention sight? Very pashat. Because you're waking up. During the course of the night, you could hear, Yanko, what? What do you mean, what? He was asleep. How did he hear? Because you could hear when you're sleeping. You hit somebody in the face. He wakes up, why? You could feel when you're sleeping. You could taste when you're sleeping. You could smell when you're sleeping. The only thing you can't do when you're asleep is your eyes are closed. So you open your eyes. That's the one sense that you have back now. You could see. Do we say, Poikeach Ivrei Amo Yisrael? No. Because Hashem gives sight to all mankind. Do we say, Roika Haaretz Al Hamayim Li Yisrael? No. Because Hashem gives dry land to all of mankind. Do we say, Matira Sura Yisrael? No, all mankind, they could stretch out their limbs. And comes the Pasuk, Oiter Yisrael B'Sephara. God gives a crown to the Jewish people with glory. Why do we mention Yisrael? What is Yisrael? What, only Jews wear hats? No. Even Goyim wear hats. Maybe they could wear a cowboy hat, or they could wear a jet hat. If it's a Yankee hat, you know it's a Jew, though. But why do we say Yisrael by a hat? Why by a hat do we say? So according to the Rush, it refers to tefillin. In fact, the Rush would make Oiter Yisrael, Yimashish b'tefillin. But according to many Rishonim, it's not only going on the tefillin, it's going on the traditional Jewish head cover, be it a yarmulke, which is to promote Yirah Shamayim, Yareh Malka, or be it a hat that many Jews wear. But nevertheless, if you look carefully at the language, the adjective describing the Jewish hat, Oiter Yisrael b'sifara, with glory. Why is the hat called glory? What's so glorious about the hat? Well, the simple reason why a hat is glorious is it makes a person look taller, it makes a person look more distinguished, it gives a person a certain distinction, but it's the same terminology used by the hats of the Kohen. Pare migbois, hats of glory. Drawing your attention to the fact that even if you're not wearing a migbah of a Kohen, even if you're just wearing a yarmulke or you're wearing a hat, nevertheless, be'enei Hashem, if your head covering, whether it's your yarmulke, whatever color it is, or whether it's your hat, if you're wearing a hat as a sign of identifying with the Jewish people, then that is your crown of kahuna. That is your crown of glory. So if you see a yeshiva bachar wearing a black hat, don't say, oh, he's a black hatter. No, he's royalty. That's a sign that he's a clergy. That's a sign that he has dedicated his life to Avodas Hashem. That's why we make a bracha. Oiter Yisrael. It's specific for the Jewish people. Why is it specific? All of mankind could wear a hat.
The Pope wears a...
What?
The Pope wears a yarmulke.
He wears a yarmulke?
Yeah.
He wears a red one.
But he doesn't have to make the bracha Oiter Yisrael B'Sevar,
I don't know.
What? I don't think he has to make that bracha. L'chara, he's potter from that. Or, Merv Raboisai, you make a bracha, Oizer Yisrael Bigvura. God girds the Jewish people with strength. What is that referring to? A belt. Yeah, but all of mankind has to wears a belt. Why does it? What does it have to do with the Jewish people? Clothing is not Malbush Arume Yisrael. So why is a belt Oizer Yisrael Bigvura? The answer is because a Jew needs to wear a belt to separate between their heart and the erva. Right? It's a halacha. You have to wear a belt during davening to separate between your heart and the erva. So now it's just to establish a halacha. The halacha is, do you have to wear a belt by davening? Technically, yes. However, Mishnah Berurah brings down that if a person's undergarment has an elastic band that's considered tight around the waist, that serves the function as a separation between the heart and the erva. Do you need to wear an additional belt? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no. Unless the following. If a person normally wears a belt throughout the day, and for whatever reason they happen to have taken it off, they're obligated to put it back on for davening. However, if you don't wear a belt the whole day, you don't have to wear a belt for davening. Chassidim are makbid to wear a belt regardless. But al pi ikar hadin, al pi halacha, there has to be some separation, which is covered by the undergarment, and you just can't take it off for davening. If you don't ever wear a belt, you don't have to put it on. That's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. In fact, what Moshe says, that to wear a gartel on top of your belt in the Rishus HaRabim is carrying. It's Hoitzah Dairaisa. So Moshe says, because you don't need it. What do you need it for? It's not a garment. What?
It's a chonah.
He says more. It's carrying, he says. It's carrying. So Moshe says you'd have to wear it on top of a jacket. Yeah, Ramosha doesn't go, he doesn't say it's a top. He said, Ramosha says, that you'd have to put on top of your jacket. But if it's under your jacket, on top of the belt, then it's not doing it, right?
Is that a mini or is a din?
What? A gartel?
Talking about a gartel, or is it a gibir, or is it a...
No, so I'm just telling you...
This is not a din.
There are two, so that's what I said. The din is just to have a separation. The minog of those who have the minog is what?
Where does it say that
that's a pus. That's a might be a din d'oraisa. It says velibi ra harbe chachma. My heart saw a lot of wisdom. So from there we see the heart could see. So if the heart could see, so we darshan the heart is not supposed to see the erva. Okay, but be it as it may, Rav Miller says, that means the belt is analogous to the avnet of the kohen. When a person davens and he has a belt on, he may not be of lineage of a kohen, but nevertheless, the belt that he wears is analogous to the belt worn by the kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, when the Ribbono Shelam says, "V'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim," it's not a mashal, it's not a melitza. There is a very significant truth to it. And that is, Ribbono Shel Olam is endowing every Jew with the status of priesthood and of being clergy. Marv Raboisai, here we go. We've already established at the beginning of davening, when you wash your hands from the Netilas Yadayim, you're like a Kohen who washes his hands from the Kiyar. By the end of davening, when you're davening Shemona Esrei, you're not focused on Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But there's a lot of space between the Kiyar and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what I would like to give out to you is your own personalized color copy of the Mishkan. And through the Sefer of Rav Shimon Schwab, we're now going to go through something which is Oyem Benoira, Hafla Vafela, how each part of Tefillah corresponds specifically to a different part and place in the Mishkan. Okay, and that's what I would like to share with you. So everyone should have their own copy. Okay, so it's colored. Okay, pass them around. Yeah, taking is optional and passing is mandatory. Okay, here we go. This comes from the Sefer Iyun Tefillah. The Iyun Tefillah of Rav Shimon Schwab in the Psicha. And says Rav Schwab, Tefillah is one of the things in this world that a person eats the fruits in Olam Hazeh, that a person could be kind of very great madrigos. Did you get one? Very great levels from contemplating their tefillah, but the ultimate reward lasts for Olam Haba. That the lashon of a tefillah accomplishes, it's mekarev a person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the word carbon is a lashon of hiskarvos, as the Ramban says in Vayikra, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Tes, to the point where the Gra asks, that if tefillah is so great, then why do we need to daven sheyibana beis hamikdash imhera v'yameinu? What do we need it for? We could just daven. Why do we say unashalma parim sfaseinu, that let our lips fulfill our quota of karbanos? Why do we need to fulfill a quota of karbanos? What is the mile of actually bringing a carbon? Well, the Gra says that yes, tefillah brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but tefillah is only forgives the sin, but there is still some remnant and some mark of the sin that only a karban could erase. But be it as it may, the function and the accomplishment of a tefillah is its makarev adam l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Marv Rabbeisai, as we started out, we mentioned that you wake up in the morning and you wash your hands from the kiyar, but let's begin our voyage in the Ezras Nashim. Okay? The Ezras Nashim. What took place in the Ezras Nashim? The Gemara in Sukkah says, and Daf Nun Aleph Amin Aleph, in the Ezras Nashim was the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What else took place in the Ezras Nashim? Once every 7 years, the king would read Mishneh Torah. When? On Matzah Yom Tov of Sukkot. You have to understand. Okay, so what did they do during the rest of the 7 years? It was empty. We say in Tehillim, Hinei Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Kol Avdei Hashem, Ha'oimdim Beveis Hashem, Balelois. We say, bless God, all you servants of Hashem, who stand in the house of God at night. Who stands in the house of God at night? The Kohanim? You're not a Du'avoyde at night. Who is standing in the house of God at night? The Karban Tamid was not shechted until they saw the sun. The answer is, the righteous people, the Anshei Maisa, would gather there in the evening, in the nighttime, to learn, to say Tehillim. And therefore, this was a Makom Limud the whole year, and that's why it was chosen as the place where the Kohen would read Mishneh Torah once every 7 years. Keneged, the king, thank you. Keneged this Makom in the Ezras Nashim, are all the tefillos in the beginning of davening. Adoy Noilam, Netilos Yadayim, Drechas HaTorah, Lekai Neshama, all the tchinos and bakashas, tchina, not what you dipped, not one of the dips, supplications, right? All of the introductory tefillos of davening are keneged the Ezras Nashim. When you open up the siddur and you say all those bakashas in the beginning of the siddur, you are virtually in the Ezras Nashim. Fine, that's number one. Marv Rabbeisai, take a look at your copy. How many steps go up from the Ezras Nashim to the Shar Niknar? 15. Keneged the 15 steps, you have 15 Berachas HaShachar. That's a vina lava miyam eloshas and goshas and yavashas and yishav pagechim malbashim ba'atir asurim pagechim, right? So you give my garsa moyim. You have all the 15 Berachas HaShachar are keneged the 15 steps from the Ezras Nashim to the Shar Niknar. As you're saying the Berachas HaShachar, you virtually imagine yourself ascending from the Ezras Nashim up to the Shar Niknar. But now here's where it gets scary. Because within the Shar Niknar, so Marv Rabbeisai, I broke up the Ion Tefillah for you into little bite-sized pieces to make it more user-friendly, okay? I don't want anyone to strain their eyes, so it's more consumable. So we're up to Ois Gimel. Now you're up to the Shar Niknar, to the Azara, which is the Machaneh Shechinah. Now in the Shar Niknar, which is the Machaneh Shechinah, there it's Asur for any of the Umayyads to enter. Okay, we know, Midrashim, Goyim are not allowed in to the Ezras Yisrael. So that's a very dangerous place. But we say it doesn't matter. And all Gentiles are out. That's why, where are we up to in davening? We say, Kol ha-gibayrim ka'ayin lefanecha. All those mighty ones from the other nations are like nothing. Va'anshei Hashem, all the renowned goyim, it's as if they never existed. And therefore we prepare ourselves to separate from the Gentile world. Where is this screening process conducted? At the entrance of Shar Niknar. So you can imagine, this is a dangerous place because Tony and Jason and Luke, they're left behind there. And these Yidlach are walking in and they're saying, Tony's saying, where are you going? He's saying, Tony, you're a nice guy. You stay outside. You make the pizza outside. We're going in. You can't go in. We say, Aval anachnu amcha, b'nei brisecha. So the goyim, they're getting very upset. They take out their weapons. So we scream out, Oifai! Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad! Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Shmai Barabim! We're going in at all costs. We don't know what the repercussions are going to be, but this is the Ad Kan V'sulai. None of the nations of the world are allowed entrance. That's why it's at this place in davening we speak about the ke'ayin lefanecha of the Umay Sa'olam. We speak about our elite status, aval anachnu amcha b'nei b'risecha, and we make the bracha al kiddush Hashem. Marv Rabbeisai, we've now entered Ezras Yisrael. Ezras Yisrael, the first 11 amos in the Azara are called the Ezras Yisrael. What's going on in the Ezras Yisrael? It's basically a gathering of all of Klal Yisrael could go there. It's a kibbutz galios. It's kibbutz b'nei Yisrael. Therefore we say the Tanad Velio, Ato Hashem Lekenu, and we're mespalel on kibbutz galios. And we say the pasuk in Sefanya, we say Yavi Eschem, we say Kipsi Eschem, Ki Atein Eschem, L'Sham, L'Shem, L'Sehila, B'chal Amei Aretz, B'Shuvi Yeshvusechem, Le'inechem, Omar Hashem. It's, and the tefilos that correspond to the Ezras Yisrael are the tefilos of Kibbutz Galios. It's a tefila of the ingathering of the exiles and the gathering of the Jewish people. Now we move on. Where are we up to now? We're in the area of the Azara called Ezras Kohanim before the Mizbeach. Interesting, take a look. We're about to ascend three steps of the Duchan. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, in Masechta Midos, there were three steps on the Duchan. This is the place where the Kohanim stood to be Mevarech the Am. And there were three steps there. Keneged, these three steps are the three Berchas HaTorah. What are they? Lasek v'debei Torah, v'harev na asher bachar banu, corresponds to the three psukim berachas kohanim, yivarechecha, yoyar, and yisa, and corresponds to Torah, Mishnah, Gemara, Braisa. So those are the three steps going up from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras kohanim. Marv Rabbeisai, we now encounter the Mizbeach Hachitzayin. And guess which part of davening corresponds to Mizbeach Hachitzayin? Ezehu Mekayman Shel Zvachim. Very simple. The parak in Zvachim. The only parak with no machloikas in it. The parsha Satamid, and the parak of Ezehu Mekayman, which is the Seder of the other Karbanos. Okay.
We're not davening in the same Seder.
We're not what?
Not in the same Seder.
What do you mean?
Not going in the Seder which we are davening today.
No? Why? In what way?
Because the
Talmud,
the beginning.
Because the Torah we say before.
Oh, you mean the Berachas Torah we say before, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Pretty good. Alright, so the Mizbeach corresponds to Ezehu Mekayman Shel Zvachim. Now we're beyond the Mizbeach, and we're in an area called Bein Ha'olam V'HaMizbeach. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. How many steps are there from the Azara going up to the Ulam? No? Look in your map.
Where?
On your personal colored copy of the Mishkan. How many steps are there?
Where?
12, but plus the floor of the Azara is a 13th. So where are we up to in davening? Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, B'sholosh Esrei Midos, HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem. And we've pointed out many times, why in the world are we reciting a Brayse of Rabbi Shmuel? To darshan the 13 hermeneutic principles of exegesis. You know, it's one thing, you want to say the Brayse of Rabbi Shmuel before you learn Gemara, you know, Tenach, that makes sense. But why are you saying Yud Gimel Mido Sha'atar Nidrashas Behem before you're davening? You're not about to learn Gzeira Shava, Bin Yanav, Kav Chaymer. So we've said many times, look at number 12. The Malbim in the Sefer Eretz Chemda on Parshas Bahaloscha, the Malbim says that an amazing idea, amazing concept that comes from the Mekubalim, especially the Arizal. Moshe Rabbeinu davens when Miriam has Taras, Moshe Rabbeinu cries out, Kel na refanola! He invokes the Mida of Kel. And what's Ribbono Shel Olam's response? Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Imavia yarak yarak b'faneha haloisi kalim shivas yamim tisager Miriam shivas yamim." Basically, Ribbono Shel Olam makes a kavachomer. He says, "If her father would have spit in her face, she would have had been locked up 7 days. All the more so, she should be locked up 7 days twice." Explains the Malbim. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to invoke the midah of Kel. The midah of Kel is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, according to the Arizal. According to the Rishonim, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim starts Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Echanan. But according to the Ari, Hashem, Hashem is the introduction to Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. The first Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim is Kel. The Mikubalim say that the way to invoke the Midah Arachamim is to utilize the corresponding principle of Midah Shatar Nidresh Esvahem. So if you learn the first of Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, you'll be able to arouse the first Yud Gimel, if you utilize the first Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidresh Esvahem, you'll be able to arouse the first Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim. So Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Kel Na Rifan Allah. Hashem says, you want to wake up Kel. You need to learn Kavachoymer, via Yorek Yorek Mefanea. Therefore, Tefillah, which is Rachamim, the introduction to that is Rabbi Shmuel Oymer, B'shaloi Shesrei Midoi Satar Nidresh Esbahem. And therefore, there are 13 steps, 12 of the Ulam, plus the floor of the Azara itself, that corresponds to Braisa to Rabbi Shmuel. Marv Rabbi say, now we're really getting started. Now, don't make the mistake. This is a very big mistake that people make. That they hear a shir, oh, this is so important! And they make the tafel the ikr, and the ikr the tafel. Whatever we said now is all introductory to tefillah. You cannot say these things at the expense of not davening Shmona Esrei with the tzibur. Davening Shmona Esrei with the tzibur means starting Shmona Esrei with the tzibur. The main purpose of going to shul is to bow Baruch Atah Hashem together with everybody else. If you're being bogged down because you're saying Adoin Olam, or you're saying Karbanos, or you're even saying parts of Psukah Zimra, you need to skip to be able to start Shemana Esrei with the Tzibur. That's the main thing that should be on a person's mind when they come to Shul is, I would like to be able to start Shemana Esrei with the Tzibur. So yes, everything here is the progression, but now we're up to the Ikar of Davening. And now we're up to Psukah Zimra. Now, Psukah Zimra, you can't skip. The main part of Psukah Zimra, Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, Yishtabach, you cannot skip. Other parts of Psukah Zimra, you would be able to. We're the Ulam. The Ulam corresponds to Psukah Zimra. What is the main part of Psukah Zimra? Baruch Sha'amar. What's the conclusion of Psukah Zimra? Yishtabach. The entrance of the Ulam is Baruch Sha'amar. The entrance of the Heichal is Yishtabach. They parallel each other. By the way, they both have 13 praises. Baruch Shamar has 13 baruchs. Yishtabach has 13 praises. They're exactly the same. Interesting. The Ulam itself are the Shvach, the Shvachim. Be it Haidu, be it Yehi Chavoyed, be it Mizmar L'Soida, be it the Halalukas. Now, it's very interesting. If you look in Masechta Midos, in Paragimel, Mishnah Ches. What hung down from the ceiling of the Ulam? Golden chains. By the way, what were those golden chains for? The young Kohanim would climb up and down the chains, and on the top they would see the crowns. What crowns would they see? They would see the crowns of Mashiach. There were two crowns there. One went on the head of Yeshua Kohen Gadol, one went on the head of Zerubbabel, who is supposed to be Mashiach. He didn't become Mashiach, but Mashiach, who is a Gilgal of Zerubbabel, will wear that crown. The comparison to Psukah Zimra is one to chains. Why? Psukah Zimra is one mizmar chained to the next. If you study the davening carefully, we would appreciate why Haidu flows into Mizmar L'Soida, flows into Yichavoyed, flows into the first Ashrei, flows into the next Halleluka. Psukah Zimra is a chain of events, a chain of praises that are connected to each other, and maybe one day we'll be zoicha to understand the flow of the tefillah. But the Baruch Sha'amar is the entrance of the Ulam, Yishtabach is the entrance of the Heichal, and the Psukah Zimra itself are the chains that hang down. Marv Raboisai, now it's showtime. Now we're up to Birchas Kriya Shema. And Birchas Kriya Shema corresponds to the Heichal. And you come to the Heichal. And on the right side of the Heichal, what do you see? The Shulchan. And on the left side of the Heichal, what do you see? The Menorah. And right in the center, you see the Mizbeach HaKetoiras. The Rambam says there are two ways of understanding Hashem in this world. There are two ways to come to an Hakara of Hashem. You could study God in creation. You could study God in science. You could study God in biology. You could look at the human body and appreciate the wonders of Hashem. You could appreciate the fact that the liver actually stores up minerals, and a year later, when you need it, it knows exactly when to release it. The liver is able to take in medication and deliver it to the whole body. It's a miracle. The heart pumps 70 times a minute. Okay, we're going to do an exercise now. Everybody, open your hands. You ready? Pump your hands. Let's go. 70 times a minute. Let's go. 70 times. 70 times. 70 times. 70 times. Let's go. Okay? Who could do it? Who could do it? Who could do it without passing out? Who could do it? 70 times. 70 times. 70 times. You cannot do it for 10 minutes. It's impossible. And you're not even pumping the fist so hard. So how is it possible for the heart as a muscle to pump 70 times every minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, without stopping? There's no machine in the world that can handle that. What are you eating already? How many burgers are you eating to fuel that? What are you eating? Your gasoline? You're pouring gasoline, oil? Well, what's going on? How is it possible that a muscle pumps all day for years and years and years? A car engine doesn't last that long. How is it possible? One of the ways of perceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by looking at the human body, looking at nature. Question for you. Question is, how do you get blood, how do you get oxygen into your blood? So basically, the blood goes into the heart. The heart pumps the blood to the lungs. The lungs take in the oxygen. And the oxygen goes into the blood, and then the blood is sent to the rest of the body. Yeah? So I have a question. A baby doesn't breathe. Baby doesn't breathe. Baby doesn't breathe. How does it get oxygen in its blood? So it goes straight from the oxygen in the mother's blood goes straight to the baby. So wait a second then. Then in a baby, does the blood get pumped up to the lungs? No, it doesn't. In the baby, it doesn't get pumped up to the lungs. So where does it go? There's a hole in a baby's heart that the blood goes from one ventricle, from one chamber, atria, to the next. There's a hole in the baby's heart. So when does the baby have surgery to close up the hole? Right? Because in a baby, there's no reason for the blood to go to the lungs, so it doesn't. It goes from one area on the heart to the next because there's a hole in the baby's heart. So when does the surgeon repair the hole? Oh, we don't need a surgeon. So who closes up the hole? The moment the baby is born, the baby cries. That cry creates so much pressure in the baby's chest, the hole seals shut forever. No surgery required, and you don't have to deal with insurance. Right? You don't have to deal with insurance. It's mamish nisim and aflois. One of the ways to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to study science, to study nature. That's represented by the Shulchan. The Shulchan is represented by Olam Hazeh, the table. Olam Hazeh is the Shulchan. That's the first bracha of Kriya Shema. Yoitzer Or Uboirei Choshech. Oysa Shalom Uboirei Es HaKoyel. That is the first bracha of Kriya Shema, the Shulchan. Olam Hazeh. But there's an even greater way to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says, what's the best and highest way to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through the Torah. Through the Torah, a person is makir misha amar v'haya olam. You know, one would think that studying science would bring a person a greater recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than studying Torah. No. Even though studying science brings a person a great recognition, not as great as studying Torah. Somehow, by learning Torah, it gives a person more of the spiritual recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That corresponds to Ahava Rabba or Avas Olam. That's the menorah, the light of the menorah, the light of the Torah is represented by the bracha of Ahavas Olam or Ahava Rabba. So there are these two ways of recognizing God. The Shulchan, Brias HaOlam, science, or the menorah, the Torah, the recognition of the one who gave us the Torah's Chaim. That's the Shulchan and the Menorah. But Mohav Rabbi say now we're dead center. And dead center is the Mizbeach HaKetoras. And what do you offer on the Mizbeach HaKetoras? On the Mizbeach HaChitzon, they offer the physicality of the animal. On the Mizbeach HaKetoras is the scent. The scent is what gives the neshama pleasure. The Mizbeach HaKetoras corresponds to the offering of the soul. What part of davening does that correspond to? Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol miyodecha. That's Mizbeach HaKetoras. After all, we know when one says Shema, they're mechavein to be moiser nefesh al kedosh Hashem, that they would give up their life for the Ribbono Hashem. Kriya Shema corresponds to the Mizbeach HaKetoras. But I'm not a kohen. That's what you thought. That's what you thought, you're not a kohen. Until the Ribbono Hashem picked you up by your lapel and he said, V'atem tiuli mamlechas kohanim. You are a kohen. You say Shema every day. You say brachas kriya Shema. You say, you see the Shulchan, you see the Menorah, you say, Yotzar Bari Choshech, you say, I have a rabbi, you're a Kohen! Just because he can't go into the physical Mishkan, but into the Mishkan Hashem, into the Mishkan of Tefillah, into the Mikdash Shomala, every single day we're all given entry. You are a Kohen! It's not a Moshal, it's not a Melitza, it's not an analogy, it's not a simile. It's pshutai kevashmai, ein mikriya, it's imidei pshutai. You wash your hands in the morning, where are you going? You're going to the Beis HaMikdash. How are you getting there? What do you mean, how am I getting there? First I start the tefillos, I start on the Ezras Nashim, I say the 15 brachas HaShachar, I climb up the Chamesh Esrei Malos, now I have, I say Mekadosh Shmai Barabim, I'm in the Shar Niknar, now I say the psukim of Kibbutz Nidchei Yisrael and the Ezras Yisrael, now I'm up to the Duchen brachas HaTorah, now Ezel Mekoyman Shal Zvachim, I say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, I climb up the 13 steps. Baruch Shamar, I'm in the Ulam. Psuk the Zimra, the chains of the Ulam. Yishtabach, the entrance of the Heichal. First I go to the Shulchan, that's Yotzar Varei Choshech. Then I go to the Menorah, that's Avar Abba. Then I go to the Mizbeach HaKetoras. I have one more bracha to go. What bracha? Yeah, Gaal Yisrael. Gaal Yisrael is the highest revelation of Hashem's presence, where Hashem says, I'm going to redeem you, and you're going to point to me, and you're going to say, Zekeli v'anveyu, are you going to see Geula? That's the Pareiches. That's the Pareiches. And right after the Pareiches, without any hefsik, the Aroin is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Shemoneh Esrei. So you say, what does the Mishnah Berurah mean that when I dive in Shemoneh Esrei, I'm supposed to imagine myself standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What does he mean? He means what he says he means. There's not an allegory, it's not like a Dvar Torah, a Jerusha. Oh, I have a great Jerush to tell you that when you dive in Shemoneh Esrei, you should imagine. No, this is just the culmination of an appreciation, understanding of what is transpiring during Tefillah. Look in Ois Yud Beis over here. Right after. Oisin Aleph, Yachakach Nigoshim LaParoiches, which corresponds to Emes V'Yatziv, which is the entrance to the Shemoneh Esrei that you mentioned, Gulas Mitzrayim, where the Shechina was revealed, and this is where we see Anihu V'Layacher. Okay, now we're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore we cannot be Mavsik Bein Gula LaTfila, and this is the meaning of the Mishnah Berurah and the Halacha, Yechavein Keneged Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the thesis of Rav Shimon Schwab in his Psicha to the Sefer Ion Tefillah, where each part of davening corresponds very precisely to a different part of the Mishkan. But I will share with you that Rav Schwab is not the only one who advances this idea. In the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emdin, over each part of davening, meaning, if you look in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Siddur, I recommend everybody getting one. So, by each part of davening, it will say over here where in the Mishkan you are. Like in the middle of the page on the top, it will say, now you're in the Ezras Nashim, now you're in the Ezras Yisrael, now you're in the Tzafai, now you're in Bein Ulam Mizrayach, and by Shemoneh Esrei, it will say, now you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So I just made a copy for you, just a small collection. Rabbi Yaakov Emden basically learns similarly to Rav Schwab. Take a look at number 14. Rav Yaakov Emden says, the Ezras Noshim is where you say Berchus HaShachar. Okay, pretty similar. We said it's the 15 steps. The Ezras Yisrael is the Akedah.
until Anuba Kayach. The Ezra's Kayanim is the Seder HaVoida. Safain HaAzara is Ezel Mekayman. The Maloi Shebein Ulam Azech is Rabbi Shmuel, just like Rabbi Schwab. Yeah. The Ulam is Baruch Shemot Yishtabach. The Heichal is Baruch Kri Shema. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim is Shemana Esrei. Comes the Malbim. And the Malbim says even furthermore. The Malbim says, you read Parshas Tetzaveh, and you read about the big day kahuna, and you think, it's irrelevant. So one guy has to wear a nice begadim, and I have to spend an extra 45 minutes in shul, because this rabbi is wearing nice clothing. What's that got to do with me? Let him come to shul and hear about his clothing. I have to hear about his clothing. Says the Malbim, it's a mashal. The big day kahuna, the begadim of the nefesh, the attitudes, the midas, the perspectives, the garments with which you clothe your neshama in order to properly serve Hashem. And each one of these begadim is a different midah and a different idea and a different perspective to have as you approach the Ribbono Shel Olam. Marvra boysai, you'll say, come on. You want to say I'm a kohen, but now you're telling me not only am I a kohen, I'm a kohen gadol. Every morning I'm going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I'm a kohen gadol. Let me share with you Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim says, V'atem tihiyuli mamleches kohanim. Says the Baal HaTurim, Ilu zachu Yisrael, if the Jewish people would have merited, hayu kulam kohanim gedoylim. They all would have been kohanim gedoylim. Ula asid lavai tachzer lahem. La asid lavai, it will return to them. La asid lavai, not only will every Jew be a kohen, every Jew will be a Kohen Gadol. You say, how's that possible? So I would say, Baal HaTurim, not only in the future will every Yid be a Kohen Gadol, every morning every Yid is a Kohen Gadol. Every morning a Yid is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Marv Raboisai, let me ask you a question. You ever see people down in Shemana Esrei? So they take three steps back like this. What is that? What would be wrong if you actually bowed correctly? Or Moedim. Moedim go like this. No. Moedim is Ad Sheyispakaku Kol Chulyos Shebeshidra. It means you bow down until all the vertebrae are bent. You lift up your head and you go like that. So why are people going like, you know, walking all over the place, bowing, shaking? Why can't they do it right? Because they don't take it seriously. I guarantee you, the Kohen Gadol, when he did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, if he had to take a certain number of steps, he was counting every step. So why, when a person takes three steps back, can't they be medaktik? That the toe is by the heel? And why is it just haphazard? Because we don't appreciate the fact that our tefillah is an Avodah. It's an Avodah. An Avodah. Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. If we would give it the chashivos that it deserves, and the appreciation, and the reality that it is, then a bow would be a bow, and a step would be a step, and everything would be precise. But we don't value it. It's just one of those things that we have to check off. Oh, I have to make sure I davened. Oh, I davened already. I already davened today. Did you daven yet? I didn't daven yet. I davened already. It's just something we have to put under the belt. But the Gemara tells us, La'avas Hashem lekechem, ula'avdoi b'chol levavchem, eizahi avoida shehi b'leiv. Tefillah is an avoida. It's a serious thing. It's really entering the Beis HaMikdash. When you wash your hands in the morning, don't let the opportunity slip by to recognize. The Ribbono Shel Olam saying, Rabbid! You're a kohen, you're a clergy, you have a very important job this morning. Rav Miller writes in his Sefer, and we'll end with this, and I heard him say this, I remember, on one of the last Thursday nights in his life. What's the concept of eating matzah on Pesach? He says a beautiful idea. Matzah has no chametz. Matzah is very similar to a karban mincha. A mincha was only allowed to be eaten by a kohen. When Klal Yisrael were taken out of Mitzrayim and they're being charged, V'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim goy kadosh, Hashem says, yeah, I'll be ready in a minute. Hashem says, listen,
I want you to appreciate and understand that you guys are Kohanim. And therefore, you know what you're going to eat? You're going to eat the food that Kohanim eat, which is matzah, which is like the Karbe Mincha. That's one of the ideas, that's one of the meanings of the Karbe, of the mitzvah of matzah. So as we approach the Yom Tov of Pesach and the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satorah after that, let's understand one of the central functions in our life is to view ourselves as professional Ovdei Hashem, full-time Ovdei Hashem, however we're occupied, whatever we do, whatever livelihood we have. But the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a status that we have a tremendous avoida, that's our responsibility. And the avoidas hayoim, netilas yadayim, and tefillah is an avoida mamish of entering the Mishkan, entering the Beis HaMikdash, entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. May all of our tefillahs be neskabel barachim and baratzen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.